What do you think the best way to introduce the show is? I've been thinking about how what a lousy job we do introducing the program every week.
I don't know. Hey, how come I only have sound in one ear?
Because you're deaf in one ear, I think. I think
these headphones. Wait, how many? Are your headphones working
100%? My headphones are working fine. Those headphones are working fine. I think you're deaf in one ear.
I think you gave me the
crappy headphones. Yeah, the problem lies with you, my friend.
I think you're pawning off the bad headphones.
I don't think so.
Oh, you think it's the jack? Hey, you know, while we're talking about it, while we're listing our resentments, I think I can speak for the whole staff. Why do I always have to come to you here every week?
Yeah. Because this is where the radio station is? Because I'm where the radio station is. So you're not coming to me. You're coming to the radio station.
Well,
why do you think of it as coming to me?
Does that work?
I guess you're right. Although, explain this to me. I still resent it every week.
I can't help you with that.
I still get kind of mad that you're never heading my way.
Holy cow, that's a gigantic ball of wax that was in your ear. Can you hear in both ears now?
And now I kind of have better headsets. Yeah, thanks. So you get the good headsets. We have to come to you. It never ends.
Come to the radio station.
It never ends. The sun rises and sets out of Ken Friedman's ass.
You can stop chewing your gum now, please.
Oh, I probably could. No question I could. I'm not an idiot. I know how to stop chewing gum.
We did a whole show, if you recall.
No, I don't recall.
There was a referendum on whether you should chew gum on the air or not.
It wasn't one of them binding referendums, I hope.
No, it was. It was a binding referendum.
It was what they call an enabling referendum, if I wanted to stop. All right, fine. The gum's out.
Thank you.
So we have to make this really good because I'm out of town next week.
Oh, right. Next week's a rerun.
Or we could just rerun this show. If this show is extra dense and special and magical, maybe people will be ready by next Wednesday to hear it again. If there are enough unanswered questions.
We've never rerun a show after 1 week.
Back to back, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, we could do it. There's something there.
No, there's nothing there.
No, there's something there.
So you'll be at the lake this Thanksgiving?
Yep.
I'll be,
Yep. You going to Memphis?
No, we at Texas. So.
Texas, that's right, Texas.
Hey, don't you hate, Irwin, correct me if I'm wrong, do you do this at your Thanksgiving dinner? Do you go around the table and everyone has to say what they're thankful for?
Yeah.
Irwin, isn't that the worst moment of the year? Don't you dread it all day?
No.
Oh, I'm going to have to be pithy. Going to have to be a little funny. What the hell am I going to say? I've got to kind of pop. I've got to think of something special. I've got to impress this girl or that guy. Don't you dread it all morning?
No, I say the same thing every year.
What do you say?
I quote Led Zeppelin.
I can't even imagine. What do you say?
Does anyone remember laughter?
I just say two words.
What?
Indoor plumbing. I'd love for everyone at the table to agree beforehand. Let's all just say indoor plumbing this year. Just go around the table.
When did people start doing that?
I don't know. It's horrible. Look,
it's a recent development.
Yeah, the pilgrims didn't do it. If you're being honest, it's just indoor plumbing, modern dentistry. That's it. That's the list. There's nothing else on the list. People were honest. But you have to do the whole thing. Oh, I'm thankful for the host. I'm thankful the family's together. I'm thankful everyone traveled. Everyone's here. You have to do the song and dance. Am I right?
I'm going to send a recording of that to your wife. Of you just making fun of everybody.
By the way, my impression was spot on. That's every cousin and uncle at the table.
So you just say indoor plumbing.
Indoor plumbing. Next.
I do say laughter.
Do you? You're thankful for laughter?
Yeah, that pretty much is my go-to.
Yeah. Are you allowed to say money?
No.
Wait, Irwin would like to join us.
You are not allowed to say money.
Yeah.
I am thankful for self-adhesive envelopes.
You are?
You never have to cut your tongue on a flap again.
But they taste so crappy. I wet my finger and rub my wet finger against the envelope adhesive.
No, the ones where you peel off the strip.
Oh, those.
What an invention.
You're living large with those.
Yeah, this is exactly the kind of stuff I was hoping to get into.
Can you get into your Dave Crosby story?
Yeah.
Dave Crosby is on tour.
He is.
Irwin's excited about it.
We're very excited. It's probably going to be his last tour before he dies.
Yeah.
5-week spring tour, David Crosby with the Sky Trails Band.
Do you get a refund if he doesn't die and he does another tour? I understood this was going to be the tour. Turned out to be the penultimate tour.
Oh, this is cool. The Sky Trails Band. He's backed up by 3 of his illegitimate children. That's cool.
3 out of 14?
Yep.
What are the other 11 doing? Stewing at home? They're practicing for... They didn't pass the audition.
The Sky... Okay, so, yeah. So, you opened for David Crosby one time.
I did, years when I was performing in Philly.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember the club. It was, I think, I can't remember the club. But I do have a story. I opened for him, but I didn't meet him.
Aww.
You know, I mean, at that time. I opened for him, and then after my set, he came out and he did his set. And I, for reasons I can't remember, I never got to even introduce myself between sets. But after his set... He finished his set, and he stepped backstage, and the crowd, of course, loved him. You know, he was a member of the band. I can't remember the name of the band. He was with Stills and Nash. I can't remember the name of the band.
Yeah,
I'm blanking on it.
Firefall.
Something.
I believe, yeah.
Something. But it was Young, Stills, Nash and Crosby.
Right.
Yeah, Firefall. I can't. But the crowd loved him. Crowd ate it because he did the thing about you know, the wooden ships at the end of the world.
Oh yeah, and the whales.
Post-apocalyptic.
Yep.
They were sharing each other's purple berries. they passed them from ship to ship. That's how bad things were. Remember that song?
I do.
Yeah. So anyway, he did that song. He did them all. So the crowd was cheering, and the crowd, of course, expected an encore, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're cheering his name.
Yeah.
They're waiting for him to come out. And I said to myself, I'm backstage, and I said to myself, this is a moment between the end of his set and his encore. This is a moment where I can go out, and I can go up to him and introduce myself and say, hi, thanks for the opportunity. Nice
right before his encore.
Between his set and his encore.
That's...
I thought I would go, because he walked right from the stage right to his dressing room. But he was certainly going to come back out and do an encore. So,
well, he's doing coke back there.
So I go to his dressing room. I knock on the door, say, Mr. Crosby. No answer, Mr. Crosby. Meanwhile, the crowd is still chanting, David, more, David, David, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
they're
yeah.
chanting it. I open the door. He's on the sofa, fast asleep. The crowd, I swear, is still chanting more. And their dad demanding an encore, and he was asleep within 40 seconds of leaving the stage. So what the hell is going
on? I'm not sure.
Does he have zero adrenaline pumping from, I mean, talk about being cool on stage.
I don't think he was asleep.
He was gone.
He was probably nodding.
Well,
he probably was.
I mean, was that a heroin story? I don't know enough about drugs.
I think it's a heroin story.
Is that a heroin story? But they're still yelling more in one ear, and in the other ear, he's snoring. And that's my David Crosby story.
So
I never got to, never even said hello.
Did you do a David Crosby joke when you were opening for him? Like, did you start playing Almost Cut My Hair and then say, like, oh, I hope David's not going to do that one?
You mean like I used to do with my friend Don McLean?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I just have this vague, vague memory of being very, very witty and entertaining.
Yeah.
But I have no specifics.
Nice.
So I have a David Crosby story.
That's great. I have a David Crosby story. It's not as good as yours.
No, we don't want to hear it. We're moving on.
Okay. We have a topic tonight, 15 Seconds of Fame. We want to know the time you were an extra in a movie or TV show, or maybe you had one line.
No, not a line. It can't be a line. Then you have a part.
No lines.
If you're in the background.
In the background, right.
In a movie or a TV show, we want to bring it up, and we have an award. What do the we're going to give an award for best performance by a schmuck in the background.
Yeah, best performance in less than 15 seconds.
Yeah, and what do we have for the winner?
An Oscar.
We have a statuette?
Well, not exactly a statuette. It's a version of... It's a picture of a statuette.
Is that your way of saying you're going to send a picture of your junk
No.
That's what you're saying?
No, that is not what I'm saying. I'm not going to send a picture of my junk.
That's what I assume, a picture of a statuette.
Yeah, but I'm impressed.
What the hell are you?
But I'm impressed by you using the term junk.
Thanks. That's my...
Yeah.
It's me. You're trying to be FCC friendly.
I don't know. We'll send him a T-shirt. How's that?
That'll teach him. That'll teach him to call. Maybe they'll learn a lesson and never call again.
But we also want people who maybe shouted something out and then maybe
during a live recording.
During a live recording.
So we're just looking for someone. If you're in the background of a scene, if you pass through the frame, if your car is driving through the frame, maybe you did a day or two on the set as an extra.
Maybe you're the guy who yelled out Judas at that.
That's in England, right?
Yeah. But maybe that guy's listening.
Where was that? What concert was that?
Wasn't it at Royal Albert Hall?
No, I believe it was for years erroneously thought to be at Royal Albert Hall.
Okay, well, forget that one.
Do you remember Dylan's response?
Yeah, we talked about this. You're a liar.
I don't believe you. You're a liar.
Maybe you're the guy who yelled out Freebird at that famous Lynyrd Skynyrd concert?
I was yelling Freebird at the Dylan concert, and I'm not proud of it. I was confused. I should have done more research.
I bet that really pissed him off. You should not have done that.
I now, in hindsight, regret it. You know what I'd love to do at a concert? Just go to a concert, get right up to the stage, and scream, play what you want over and over and over, all night long. Play what you want! Play what you want!
I think they'd remove you.
I want to be that guy.
Yeah, that guy. That guy gets escorted out by security.
Play what you want.
That's the sign of a crazy person. Supposed to yell Freebird.
I want to be the guy.
So we're
the guy that yells "Play what you want." It's kind of like a debate. It's kind of like a rebuttal. He's doing a rebuttal, isn't he? In the crowd. If you think about it, yelling "play what you want" is the stupidest thing you could yell.
Yes.
Of course they're going to play with it.
No, I'm telling you, you got to get rid of that person.
Play what you want. How is he helping? How is he helping?
He's not. He's heckling.
It's not even heckling. It's just it's treading water. It's just taking up trying to get a little focused, a little attention.
Well, speaking of screaming things at concerts, you used to have a standing offer of $200 of anybody who would go to a Don McLean show and yell out your name.
No, I think it was...
loud enough for Don McLean to hear it.
And I don't think that's exactly accurate. I think Don McLean at one point said, I'm never going to mention Andy Breckman again. I'm never going to, right? He said in some interview, I'm tired of talking about him. Tired of being asked about him. I'm not going to mention the name again. And then I believe it was you, sir, who offered money to anyone who could make him say my name.
I'd still pay for that.
If you could make him say my name, but it has to be somehow recorded.
Yeah, but how do you do that? How do you make him?
Well, you'd have to do a little research. How did they get Rumpelstiltskin to say his name?
Oh, that was a trick.
Oh, wait. Rumpelstiltskin, you just had to learn his name. The Superman villain. Mr.
Mixel.
Mr. Vixen. Yeah, Mixel, there's no vowels. Yeah. You had to trick him. Jimmy Olsen always could outsmart that guy.
All right. Well, the calls are not pouring in.
Nah, it doesn't matter. We're having fun. We're bonding. It's a little pillow talk.
Oh, maybe it's because we haven't given the phone number out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, let's give the phone number.
Yeah, 201-209.
Wait, now, before you give out the last four digits,
right?
Again, avert your eyes away from the phone bank.
Okay.
Because you could burn out your retinas.
Right, got it.
That's how many calls are going to come in. Okay, 201-209. Okay, go ahead.
9368.
9368. Were you ever an extra in a movie?
Nope. Oh, although I was, you can see me at Nirvana Unplugged.
In the audience?
Yeah. I'm to the left of Kurt Cobain. I'm on stage left, about three or four rows up. I was very close to the stage.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there with a bunch of other people, and you can see me.
Is that the kind of stories we're going to hear all night?
And we handed Kurt Cobain a WFMU catalog, and he read it on stage. It was a very exciting moment. Are you ready? The calls. Whoa, you were right, man. Those last four digits, that worked.
201-209-9368.
Wow. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Can you start over? Hi.
Are you talking to me about the show tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah, I should be happy to start over.
Hi, you're on the air.
Okay. Hello?
Okay.
Okay, no, he was okay.
No, hi.
He was right. Okay. That guy was okay.
He's gone. He's dead.
Oh, I'm sorry. So the rule is, I assume the rule is English must be your first and only language.
No, I felt like he was doing latke or something.
No, he was struggling with the language.
Maybe not.
Man, you're tough. You're cold. Man, Hair Trigger Friedman.
Hi, you're on the air.
Be careful. Be careful,
Hey, what's up?
Is that okay? You okay? Does he pass your litmus test, Ken?
What's up?
Yeah, what's up, boys? How we living?
We're living a dream. How about yourself?
Yo, it's your boy Danger.
Hey, Danger.
It's my boy Danger. My heart just sank.
Good to have Danger back on. I think it's 3 weeks in a row now that we've heard from Danger.
He's the fish we were hoping to catch.
Yep.
I love you guys.
Yeah. Hey, now, Danger, you've been in a movie or a TV show?
Yes. Do you know the band The Swan?
Yes.
No one's ever heard of them.
I know the Swans.
So I was up front and center, right in front of Michael Girard.
Uh-huh.
Their final show.
Yeah.
And that footage is used in the upcoming documentary about them.
Oh, this is going to be the
worst. It's not out yet.
Yeah. It can't be confirmed.
Well, I think they did select screenings of it. It's called Where Does the Body End?
Danger is in where? Keep your notes,
Danger,
Andy.
Danger is in the documentary.
The Swans documentary.
The Swans doc.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Danger.
And you're right up front?
He's right up front. And I believe we go to line one. David in Karlstadt, you're on the air.
Evening, boys.
Evening.
Hey, David.
So I was at, there's this $300,000 outhouse up in Delaware, Water Gap National Park.
Really?
Yeah, it's a government thing. And
it must be one of those. It must be one of those highway sort of rest area and greeting sort of.
No, tourist. It's inside the park. You know, it's
is it up at Sunfish Pond? Bike. Something. Way up on the mountain.
But we're gonna
way
get
up in the trails.
Okay, it's way in the trails. They built a very high end, nice bathroom. Okay.
Yeah, and 2020 was there because of the expense. And we had just come out from doing our business, my buddy and I.
Yeah.
And they asked us for our opinion. And my buddy said, sounds like a government job. They used his clip in the report. I was standing in the background, perched on my mountain bike.
Wait, I bet we could bring this up.
I'm not going to look for it.
Why? We could bring it up on our computer.
I'm not going to look
on the,
for
no,
it.
No, go on the internet.
No.
I bet it's on the internet.
I'm sure it is. I'm not going to.
They have a lot of things on the internet. Yes. You'd be shocked.
Yes, I would be shocked.
It's like going into like a Costco or Walmart.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're in the background. So there was some kind of expose. This bathroom cost more than it should.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those,
boondoggle. It's a boondoggle expose. And 2020 was there.
Yeah.
And they had a camera crew there. You come out of the bathroom. It was a day like any other. You were minding your own business. Suddenly there's a camera crew there.
Exactly.
And your friend is on camera. Your friend comes up with a pretty quotable kind of quip. You were kind of slow off the mark, right?
Well, they had us perched on our bikes in the background.
I see. So you're perched on the bikes, and your friend comes up with a quotable line that they end up using, and you're right over you're right behind your friend in the frame.
Exactly.
And did you have to sign a release?
Nothing.
Because it's the news, you don't have to sign a release? What's the rule there?
I don't know. We didn't ask.
Good question.
And did you end up watching 2020 for the next 3 months, waiting for it to?
You got that right.
Hey, we should go out and interview people. Maybe it's a way to get people to listen to your stupid station, Ken. the off chance, the remote possibility they might hear themselves. We should go out and do a man on the street thing. Ken, We should interview 1,000 people a day.
Uh-huh.
Write this down. Write these ideas down.
I'm writing it down.
Oh, you're so full of it. All right. Hey, thanks very much, Dave.
Hey, you're welcome.
But wait, if we can't bring it up on the internet and look at it on the screen, how do we give an award out at the end of the show?
It will take me 10 minutes.
No, 2020, expose, Delaware water gap. Here, I'm going to do it on my phone.
Oh, geez, no, no. Well, can we?
Then how do we give an award?
Can we concentrate on the show?
Yeah, let's do that. Hate for our minds to wander.
Nothing. The internet, I hate to break it to you.
Go ahead.
It's not instantaneous.
It's alphabetical.
You don't type in what you're looking for and find it immediately. Sometimes you have to look for a long time to find what you're looking for.
And now we're going to teach Ken about Google.
We're on the radio. Let's be on the radio.
Fine. 201-209-9368. So I guess we're not giving an award. I'm not gonna award anything I can't see. Have you ever been an extra background of a newscast, right? We're expanding our net a little bit.
Well, you've been an extra, right? You've been an extra on your own show.
Well, I walk through. I'm on the set sometimes. I don't know if that counts.
Pulling an Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah, right.
Right?
I'm in the corner of the frame of the last shot of my TV series, Monk.
Did you ever make it onto Saturday Night Live in the background?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Oh, yes, I was on there. In fact, you could bring this up. Wait, you can. You can do this. It's Ringo Starr Auction, SNL. It's a sketch on Saturday Night Live. And you'll see the joke was that Beatle memorabilia was being auctioned off at a big auction. Everyone was bidding for Paul McCartney's bass guitar or George Harrison's jacket. And then the joke was that Ringo Starr himself, he was hosting the show. He was going to be auctioned off. And if you bring up that sketch, yeah, there it is. SNL, there it is. Oh, but if you bring up that sketch, there it is. Okay, now start that sketch. 1 minute into that sketch, Ringo Starr is wheeled out because he's being auctioned. And look who wheels him out. It's Uncle Andy. It's me when I had hair.
$50,000.
This is Martin Short. He's playing the auctioneer. There you go. I would say another.
Understanding that he did.
You're almost going to see your friend Andy.
And I opened up the bidding at $60,000.
Okay, I would go another 10 seconds. See, they're bidding on Paul McCartney's bass. And now the joke is going to be, the reveal is going to be, what a sweet reveal.
What's the reveal?
The reveal is that Ringo Starr is himself going to be auctioned off, and there's no bids for him. That's the joke.
This is going to be so worth it.
Hold on.
When we get to it.
Now, hold on. But I can tell you, it was very exciting because I got to spend all week rehearsing with Ringo Starr. And then if you Google it, he was one of the Beatles. There, look, this is me.
Oh, my God, look at you.
Walking out with Ringo. That's me with hair.
Wow. Well done, Andy.
That's me.
It looked like you and everything.
Yeah.
All right, we got a full phone bank.
It looked like me and everything. That's the kind of reviews I was hoping to get.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, it's okay to talk to you guys. You're moderately entertaining. How's it going?
Hi, Josh.
That's as close to I love the show as we're going to get from this guy, I can tell.
Yeah.
This guy's too cool for us. And then, Josh, you've been an extra in a TV show?
Kind of. I did end up ultimately having a line, but I had never worked in television or movies before, but now I do. But this is the catalyst for that kind of thing.
Okay, and what was the show?
Well, this is a movie, and I was working on my dad's potato farm, and this guy showed up, and he was like, hey, I'm a filmmaker, and I want to, you know, the same song and dance you hear in film all the time. And he just asked me what we did for fun in this middle of nowhere town in northern Maine, and I was sort of at a loss, and I just kind of told him, I don't know, you know, sometimes they drive around and there's a lot of moose around here and they're really stupid. So if you honk at them, they'll just run down the path of least resistance, which is just the road, which is where your truck can drive. So you can just herd them down the road and laugh at them.
Greatest story I've ever heard. Greatest story. This has everything so far. We're not even to the good part yet, Ken. Listen to this. We're on Dad's potato farm. right?
Are there moose?
Yeah, movie crew comes. What do you do for fun? And now we're getting to the moose. Okay, this is amazing. Go ahead. What happens next, Josh?
6 months later, I get a script, and it's got mine. It says Josh, a grungy 20-something. You know, it's a very small little part, but he says, "Hey, Moose Safari, you guys want to go?"
That's your line? That's your line?
Yeah. That was my line, and I'm like, are you trying to get me as an actor? Like, how do you want me? What is this? Like, are you really trying to make this movie in this middle of nowhere place? And they're like, yeah, and also we don't know where anything is, so will you be what's called a location manager?
Wait, now, what was the name of the movie?
So it's got an embarrassingly pretentious name.
Go ahead.
That sucks, but it's called Beneath the Harvest Sky. And it ends up premiering at the Toronto Film Festival.
Beneath the Harvest Sky. What was your favorite scene in Beneath the Harvest Sky, Ken?
Well, it's when I chased the moose.
I would say, the big moose safari. Yeah. That's my favorite scene, too.
They used yakety sax in the background. It was hilarious.
Okay, we're bringing that up, too. Josh, you're in the running, and thanks for your call. Yeah. We're at 201-209-9368.
There it is, Beneath the Harvest Sky. It's real.
Hey, you guys up for a moose safari? That's my friend Josh. I know that kid.
You sound just like Josh.
I know that kid. He's a regular guy. Now that he's a big star, he's still a regular guy. 201-209-9368.
Rob in Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hi, you guys. Love the show.
Thanks, Rob. That means the world to us, doesn't it, Ken?
Yes, it does, Andy.
I'm not being sarcastic either. Are you, Ken?
I am not.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
He checks off all the boxes.
That's great, Rob. Thank you.
Rob, you've been an extra in a movie or TV show?
I have, but I've got a better story than that. Okay. A friend and I did an interesting, kind of strange project a couple of years ago, and we made the AP wire for that. So that's better than my extra story.
I don't know, but it's off topic, though, isn't it, Ken?
Yeah, we want an extra story. Not looking for people who've been
you
on the news.
You said 5 minutes.
I don't know. I don't remember what we said.
AP Wire.
AP Wire is not the same.
TV stations all over the country.
I don't know.
Andy's nodding his
head.
No.
We'll do that next week.
All right.
Right. We'll do 5 minutes of fame on the news next week.
No show next week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Rob.
All right.
Hey, Rob, when your mom asks you what you're thankful for, you know what to say this year, right?
Yeah.
Indoor plumbing, modern dentistry.
I'm going to say indoor plumbing and modern dentistry. That's me doing Rob.
Yeah, and then your mom or dad will say, "Is that it, Rob?" And then you say, "Yes, that's it." But say kind of pissed off, emphatically.
Why? Why do that?
Because you don't want them to press you for more.
Got it.
That's it.
Good advice.
Indoor plumbing.
Rosie, you're on the air.
Hey, Rosie. Thanks for calling.
Hi, I'm having a lot of fun listening to you.
Well, that's
guys.
Because you love the show.
Oh, yeah. This is great.
The show loves you too, Rosie.
We love you, Rosie.
Now, you've been an extra in a movie, I guess.
Yes. More than one, but one that I found very interesting was I was an extra it was the 1980s, and I was on Woody Allen's Radio Days.
Okay.
Wow.
And what was really fun was it was a period piece, 1940s, so hair and makeup and costuming.
Okay.
They even had our shoes and stockings and undergarments.
How many days did you do on that show?
Well, the best part about this job was, and I didn't have a line, I had been a dancer prior, so that's how I could get into SAG and get hired as an extra. So it was about 3 weeks of work at Astoria Studios, and then, as he notoriously does, he fired a whole bunch of people
and then
had to shoot all the scenes.
So you got more days.
And then I got 3 more weeks of work, and it qualified me under the union to get medical insurance that year.
Perfect.
Which I had been living
thank
without
you,
medical
thank you,
insurance.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
And what scene are you in, Rosie?
There's a scene, it's Chekhov's Three Sisters. I'm one of the three sisters. Mia Farrow was another one, and then there was another actress, and we're standing at, the old-fashioned radio microphones.
Oh, okay. So you were in a studio, And did you have a line, or you were just standing next to Mia?
No, I was doing a lot of reacting.
Oh, okay,
but
fantastic.
We were radio actresses.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
That's what it was about.
I actually am a fan of that. I'm a fan of that movie. It's really a smart, wonderful ensemble movie. Larry David has a part in that movie.
Yeah, I mean, it was It was just a lot of fun, and it was
fantastic.
So
what a great credit.
Work and.
Now, do you have that frame on your wall of that a reproduction of that picture of that scene on your wall?
No, I really should get that.
Yeah, it'd be a nice gift. Be a nice Christmas gift for you.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's a good idea.
Do you have have you picked out a Christmas gift for Rosie this year?
I haven't. No,
I already did. That's the problem. Maybe I can return what I got.
I look kind of like Veronica Lake. You know, that sort of. 40s hairstyle.
The peekaboo, the classic peekaboo.
And,
yeah, love it.
You know, with the hats. It was just, and then it was very interesting.
What a nice
because
memory.
All of Mia Farrow's children were young.
Yeah.
And they were on set every day.
Yeah, they were on Woody's lap, I guess.
People
yeah.
were really nice. It was just a fun job.
Kids, we don't have any chairs for you. You sit here on Daddy's lap. There was a lot of that going on.
I don't know, but
okay.
You know, look at Ronan Farrow's career. He's, you know, quite a journalist.
Yeah, he's doing great.
He's doing great. Doing great. If only he had a dad to talk to.
Thank you, Rosie.
Thanks, Rosie.
You're in the running for the Academy Award we're giving away.
Yeah, Josh was in Beneath the Harvest Sky. Maybe you remember the Moose Safari.
I do.
Rosie was in Radio Days. Remember the Chekhov sister
scene? Oh, next to Mia Farrow.
Yeah. Remember David? He was on 2020. He was in the background. It's the big expose.
Oh, is that when they were up on top of the mountain?
Delaware Water Gap.
Oh, I remember that.
And I don't know if you've ever heard of the Swans, the band The Swans.
Yeah, Michael Jira.
Yeah, there's a documentary about them. Guess who's in the front row?
Who? Danger?
I'm not going to say.
Get out of town.
You just rent the dock. Your head is going to explode.
Michael in Vermont, you're on the air.
Hi, Ken and Andy.
Hi,
love
Michael.
The show.
Hey, thanks, Michael.
The days of Arnon's childhood calls.
Oh, that's
wow.
Right.
Wow, you've been listening a long time.
I just started listening. I've been doing the show for close to 30 years, but I just started listening like a few months ago.
Oh, that's great.
I just started paying attention, yeah.
Arnon just retired.
Arnon, are you guys in contact with Arnon?
Yeah, I actually am. Well, I'm in touch with Arnon's dad.
That is heartwarming.
Yeah.
And I had an affair a couple years ago with Arnon's mom.
That's great.
I don't think you did.
I figured as much.
Yeah.
So I was an inadvertent extra as a child in a movie that was filmed in Bootin.
A movie in Bootin? Can you guess what it is, Ken?
A movie in Bootin. That's the title of the movie.
That's almost like a movie in Bootin, New Jersey, filmed in Bootin?
Yeah.
I cannot guess what it was.
I can't guess what it was. I have no idea.
So it was 1985, and as I had often done in that era, I had stayed overnight at my cousin Gary's house. And my Aunt Kathy had a hair appointment in Bootin the next day. So she took me and Gary, and, you know, she's getting her hair done. We're kind of bored. And the hairstylist says, oh, they're filming a movie down the street. Why don't you boys go check that out? So Gary and I run down the street. And in front of a storefront down there, there's two big flatbed tractor trailers. And they have these prop barrels of oozing toxic waste.
Oh, the Toxic Avenger.
Yes.
Wow.
Hi.
They filmed the Toxic Avenger in Bootin?
They filmed the scene, so
1985.
So Gary and I run up, and there's all these people in, like, exercise gear on the sidewalk, like leotards and stuff. And the director's talking to him, and Gary and I sidle up, and we're standing right kind of in the throng of that group of people. We're 11, 12 years old, and we just kind of squeeze in. And all of a sudden, he calls action. And this guy comes running out of the storefront, and he's wearing a pink tutu. He's covered in some kind of green muck, and he throws himself on the sidewalk in the middle of this ring of people that we're now standing in, and is flipping all over and, like, you know, kind of doing, you know, having some kind of attack. And, yeah, it was Toxic Avenger.
Now, how many minutes into the movie does that occur? Is that midway through?
I don't recall. I mean, I think it's when he – that's the that's why he turns into the Toxic Avenger, you know, because he gets doused with this.
Oh,
so it's early. This is the origin. This is the origin story.
15, 20 minutes.
And that's you. That's you and Gary.
It's my shoe.
Oh, it's your shoe.
It's my black Bruce brand Velcro sneaker, visible for maybe a second.
How proud we are. How proud we are to have you in our listening audience. Am I right, Ken?
Yeah, that was the scene that made the movie, Michael.
Well, it's the shoe that makes
it. It was the shoe.
So here's who's in our audience. Here's who's listening on any given Wednesday. We have Danger. Maybe you saw him in the Swan's Dock, right?
Oh yeah, he was in the front row.
I saw an advanced copy.
Yeah, exactly. We have David. Maybe you saw him on 2020.
I missed that one. I usually catch all the ones about expensive bathrooms.
What you doing here, Andy? Looking for your pen?
And I thought I saw a nickel.
Okay.
We have Josh, we have Rosie, Michael, and now we have this guy. What's his name?
Michael.
Oh, that's our Michael and
this
Gary.
This is our Michael, yeah.
Hey, yeah. Maybe Gary will call too. Gary can confirm Michael's virgin.
I haven't been in touch with Gary in many years, so
well, we would like to talk to Gary and hear his side of this story.
Hey, Gary, it's your estranged cousin, Michael. Will you please call into this radio station that you never heard of and tell him about our Toxic Avenger story?
Yeah, so...
Thanks, Michael.
Hey, Gary, the line is open, 201-209-9368.
We're looking for 15 seconds of fame stories if you've ever been a walk-on or an extra on a movie or TV
show.
But, Ken,
we have to actually see some of these clips.
You can't just look at any movie, you know? You can't.
I'm interrupting you because I have something better to say.
Okay, go ahead.
That should be our rule, our standing rule.
Yes.
We can interrupt each other.
Okay.
If we have something that we know is better.
You go right ahead. I'm sure yours is better.
If you're interested in, if you want to have some fun, rent King of Comedy.
Okay.
And I'd say about 35, 40 minutes in, there's a scene where De Niro takes his girlfriend out to dinner.
Uh-huh.
Oh, he's showing her his high school yearbook. Or she's showing him.
Rupert Pupkin.
Yeah, Rupert Pupkin. It's the high school yearbook scene where they're showing each other. Oh, I guess he's brought a high school yearbook. He knew her in high school, right? Anyway, over his shoulder, while he's talking, every time they cut to him, this is Scorsese, right? Every time they cut to De Niro, over his left shoulder, there's a man in the background at a booth, sitting in the diner, in the next booth, mimicking Robert De Niro. When Robert De Niro gestures with his left hand, this guy gestures with his left hand. When Robert De Niro shakes his head, this guy shakes his head. It's like,
and you're seeing this guy from the back?
No, you're seeing this guy sitting there. He's facing.
And you're seeing
he's facing
face.
De Niro's table. You're seeing his face. He's sitting alone, and he's mimicking De Niro. Every time you cut to De Niro, he's an extra in the background. I mean, once you see it, you'll never stop looking.
And
for
they
it.
let the movie go with that.
They let the movie go. It's hysterical. But it had to have been noticed on the set. Because the set is multiple takes, right?
Right, right.
It's only three or four people in the background. There's a whole crew there. It had to have been noticed. There has to be a reason for it. And I was always curious about it. And somebody years ago told me that it was part of a subplot in the movie that ended up getting cut. It makes no sense to me. But you have to check it out. Now, that's something you could bring up here if you want on the screen in the studio. That's a famous bad extra. The other bad extra, of course, is, well, there's a lot of stories like this. But in North by Northwest, just in the United Nations lobby, just before...
Oh, yeah.
Just before Cary Grant pulls a gun and shoots someone, just before the gun is pulled, there's a kid in the foreground, a little 9-year-old kid, that puts his fingers in his ears.
right before the gun goes off.
Right before you see the gun. he just knows it's coming. And there's no... I guess nowadays you could somehow CGI it out, but it's there forever.
You have that great Larry Bud Melman, The Night Before Christmas story.
Well, that's just a...
Not a walk-on.
Yeah, that's a mentally challenged man having a breakdown on TV. that's not quite the same category.
All right, we got some calls. Hey, Greg and Clifton, you're on the air.
Hey, Greg, thanks for calling. It means the world to us. And,
Greg
and
gave
he's gone.
Up.
All right, so I didn't. I wasn't an extra, but I ended up on the news, unbeknownst to me. And I had people asking me at work, "Hey, were you? I officiate weddings once in a while."
Yeah.
And the first guy that told me, he's a little bit older fella. Actually, he's not alive anymore. Mm-hmm. God bless him. But anyhow, you look like someone on the news. I saw them officiating a wedding, and I just kind of laughed it off. And then as throughout the day, I'm a teacher. People mm-hmm. coming up to me. I think I saw you on the news this morning. So what happened was I married I didn't marry my friend, but I married him and his wife. I did the ceremony. And you guys there?
Yeah. Why was it news? Why was it newsworthy?
It was so silent.
No, because we're wrapped. We're transfixed.
Oh, yeah.
All right, right on.
Yeah.
So, you know, 7-8 days went by, and my friend's wife is a mail carrier, and she lost her ring, apparently, on a route in Midland Park, New Jersey.
Oh, her wedding ring. She lost her wedding ring a few days after the ceremony.
Yeah,
yes.
Lost the ring while delivering mail.
Oh, boy.
So, social media, the way it is nowadays. Luckily, someone found it and thought maybe it was hers, and the community started communicating one another, and they got the ring back to her, and so they did this little puff piece. Now I have visual, I have a link I could send you. It's the news story.
Yes! For God's sake! Yet, how quickly can you get that link to us?
Hold on,
can you get it to us now? Hey, we're off the air in just 15 minutes. Every minute counts here.
I'll post it on the board.
No. Send it to Ken at WFMU.org.
Listen, write this down. Every second counts. Ken at WFMU.org. Link it like the wind. Go. Just go. Stop talking.
Thank you, Greg.
Stop thinking. Just do it, Greg. Do it now.
All right. We're moving on to Maria in Warwick. Hi, Maria.
Did the link come in yet?
Not yet.
Refresh. Wait, hold on, Maria. Hold on, Maria. Refresh, Ken. Try it.
Remember what I was saying before about
refresh, Ken.
The internet's not instantaneous?
Yeah, just hit refresh.
Yeah, no, it's still not there.
Did Greg send it? Greg, call us back. Confirm you sent that link. 201-209-9368.
Don't worry, Andy. It's going to be here. It'll be here when it gets here.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, let's just kill some time with Maria.
Hi, it's Mariah.
Hi, Mariah.
I believe it's pronounced Maria.
No, Andy, it's Mariah.
Well, there's no way to settle this. No.
Well, Mariah would know how her name is pronounced.
Look, let's just agree to disagree. Okay. And you were an extra in a movie or a TV show?
A movie.
And what was the movie?
It was a German porn, I came to find out. It was back in the VHS days, 94. And I was working...
Wait, you're that Mariah? You are that Mariah?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Was it in Grossa Bratwurst Pizza?
I don't remember.
That's the most famous German porn that I've seen.
Just before we went on the air, I'm saying there's a shot. We have a shot this week at getting Mariah to call. Okay. Now I know this story. This is amazing. Why don't you tell Ken? Share it with Ken.
Okay. So, yes, it was an extra and... bunch of us sat in a bar. We had to sign a waiver, got paid $40, and got to drink all day long.
And what are you doing?
We never saw any action.
And wait, and did you ever see the movie itself?
No, I did not.
What was the name?
California Quartet.
California Quartet. That's the name of the movie. Wait, it was made in Germany, though?
Right. And the whole premise was that these couples were traveling.
Oh, we know the premise of California Quartet. You're just going to bore everyone. It's like saying, let me tell you the story of Jaws or Godfather. Yeah.
It's a
wife swapping. They were swapping, jumping in and out of bed with each other. They were crazy. Those California Quartets are nuts.
Wow, Andy, you're really up on your German porn.
Well, listen.
I'm impressed.
Wait, speaking of softcore porn, listen to this. I do have another story.
Okay.
So
thanks, Mariah.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. So I married to Beth Landau, right?
Yes.
B-E-T-H and then Landau, yes. L-A-N-D-A-U. Yes. So you can go on IMDb. Beth has one credit that I know of. She had one line in a Monk episode.
Uh-huh.
Because I was courting her. I was trying to impress her.
Right.
We're dating. Hey, you'll be on my show, right? I got a show, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if you IMDb Beth Landau, go to imdb.com. There's another Beth Landau, spelled the same way, another actress, with apparently another credit. So when you IMDb look up my wife, she has two credits. One is a soft core science fiction. Wait, hold on. Elizabeth Landau?
Elizabeth Landau in Monk.
Okay, yeah, try that one. Yeah, okay. Okay, obviously they have it wrong because she goes, wait a minute. Okay, look, there it is.
Aha.
Yeah, so.
Dinosaur Valley Girls.
Yeah, Dinosaur Valley Girls. There's another Beth Landau that was in a movie called Dinosaur Valley Girls. And so when you do a little, if anyone's Googling my wife, I wonder how she'd ever get another job. if she has somebody, if she actually applied for a job. When you Google my wife, you see that's her, one of her two credits, Dinosaur Valley Girls.
Man, I feel sorry for the real Beth Landau.
I know.
Who was in Dinosaur Valley Girls.
She must be so mad.
She had to memorize all those lines.
And there's not a lot of lines
for
in
nothing.
Dinosaur Valley Girls.
For nothing.
I wonder, we should watch a little bit of that.
Yeah, we should.
We should have a screening. Hey, wait, would you have a screening of Dinosaur Valley Girls in at Monty Hall?
No.
Come on. For me.
No.
For my wife.
Yeah, you can have a private screening. No problem.
Hey, no. It's a double feature. Look. No, let's have a screening.
Double feature, okay.
California Quartet. Dinosaur Valley Girls. Beneath the Harvest Sky. Come on, we'll have a whole film festival.
That's okay.
Come on.
No, that's okay.
Oh, yeah. Why? What do you got going on that's better? At Monty Hall. This I've got here.
Altamonte? We're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Altamont concert?
You are, really?
Yeah.
You're just sad.
Bring in a pool cue stick, you get in for free.
You're just sad. Guy died.
But the 60s ended.
Yeah, one good thing came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to take the good with the bad.
Yeah, it was like a rebuttal to Woodstock.
Take the bad with the good.
Yeah. It was like Woodstock, right? And then the Rolling Stones said, yes, but on the other hand, ... And then they did Altamont, right?
Yeah. So that's what we have going on.
And who's going to do your stage security for you there?
The Crips. Hired him. And gave him a case of Jack.
Man, you really are up for it.
And then, of course, there's the WFMU War on Christmas Film Festival coming up. December 7th.
You know what might be fun there? California Quartet.
All right. Maybe we'll show parts of California Quartet as the trailers.
Or the Beth Landau scenes from Dinosaur Valley Girls.
It's Amy in Brooklyn. You're on the air, Amy.
Hey, Amy.
Oh,
thanks
hey.
For calling.
Hi.
You love the show.
I love the show.
Thanks very much, Amy. Hey, were you an extra in a movie or a TV show?
What happened? Where are you?
We're over here.
Oh, over there.
Yeah, here we are.
You know that people pronounce Newark in a way that I cannot decipher sometimes? They say like Newark?
Newark.
Something.
Yeah, Newark.
You can't do it.
It's very confusing.
Yeah.
But I was cheating on WFMU with WBGO the other day.
Uh-huh.
Which happens, you know.
That's cool. That's fine.
I'm not monogamous.
Yeah.
But someone was doing some kind of announcing. It wasn't someone that's on staff there. And she said Newark in that way. And I was like, oh, there it is. That's it.
Newark.
But I just...
Wait, know, Amy's Newark like doing foreplay. Amy's
I'm from
just,
Syracuse, so I can't do any of that.
Wait, stuff. Amy's just kind of just chatting us up.
Yeah, she's...
I'm just chatting you up.
Andy, she's in Syracuse. What do you expect?
Amy, you... Amy, you're talking like you haven't had a conversation with a human being in 8 months.
It's true.
I know. And you're talking like someone that lives very, very alone. Okay, so Newark is...
I work at a public school. I'm actually constantly...
Oh, with kids, yeah. Yeah, you haven't talked to adults in a while. So,
yeah, that's what it is.
So, Amy, you've been an extra. Oh, there. Okay.
Okay, not exactly.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry to go off, you know...
Topic, yeah.
No, that's backwards. Anyway, I was in the audience. When I was in college in 1989, they called... they wanted some feminists to be in the audience. So they called my college feminist group, and I was in one of them. And they got a bunch of us to come.
Who wanted you?
They were going to discuss, is feminism dead?
Wait, who wanted you in the audience?
Well, this is the thing. I think it might have been Sally Jesse Raphael, but I can't remember for certain. And it was pre-internet. I have no idea if you'll be able to find it anywhere. So I probably...
It's one of these daytime talk shows, and they wanted a whole bunch of angry feminists.
They wanted us angry.
Okay.
They, you know, they could have probably found angrier feminists.
So this is a...
Oh, wait. Yeah. They wanted depressed feminists.
They wanted Midland. Midland
feminists. I went to Barnard, so they wanted, like, sophisticated feminists.
Okay.
Like,
so wait.
Feminists.
So this is not the best call we've had all day. I love you. Amy, I love you. So it's a daytime...
Oh, wait. Amy, tell the Newark story again. Give her a chance. Give her a chance.
Again? Okay.
Yeah.
What is this,
okay.
Bad radio?
No. Yeah. What is this, bad radio? That's not a rhetorical question, Ken. She's asking seriously.
It's not.
No, Ken, she's asking seriously. What is this? Bad radio?
Yes.
Yes. The answer is
that
yes.
That would be the new title of the show.
No, that would be too good a title.
Right.
Okay.
It
so it was a daytime talk show. Yeah. Years ago, you don't have a copy of it. You
1989. Can't re- no, 1989. I don't have a copy of it. I
you can't remember what. You can't remember who
I'm
the host was. Can't remember who the host was.
Female host, though.
Female
I
host.
Don't know. Sally Jesse Raphael, I think. Maybe.
Let's say Sally Jesse Raphael.
Let's just say, because yeah. that's so perfect with those red glasses.
Yeah.
It was so 80s. It was uber 80s.
Wasn't Judge Judy, right? Wasn't the...
No, no. Okay. No. She would have cut me down to size.
Yeah.
I was
okay.
wearing a forest green turtleneck, and I had short hair. That's all I remember.
But, Amy, we can't find you. It doesn't matter what
no,
you were
I
wearing.
Know.
Yeah.
I remember that episode.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, that was the moderately peeved off feminists. You weren't too angry, but you
no,
weren't passive
no,
either.
No, they were like beaten down feminists. They,
yeah.
were, feminists.
No. Did I mention Barnard? They were not beaten.
Yeah.
But I was very articulate and not angry, just very indignant.
Well, you're being very articulate right now.
Now tell
I'm
us.
Very articulate.
Okay, Amy, just tell us, just cut to the chase. Is feminism
York.
Dead?
Is feminism dead? No.
Okay,
no.
There you go. You've got it,
it
right
be
here.
It's annoying, but it's not dead.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine it being annoying. Can you, Ken?
No.
I can't.
Never.
Never.
How many feminists does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know. How many?
That's not funny.
That's a good joke.
It's a very good joke.
This call has everything.
It does.
It has everything. Did I mention that I was a lesbian for most of my adulthood and then had to switch over because I found a soulmate that was a guy?
Wow.
These
say Newark again.
Better and better.
Give us one more Newark before
and are you,
go.
Wait, Amy, are
Newark.
You? And Amy, what's the name of your guy? Are you still with your guy?
Oh, he's the best, Tim. I took the best one off the market. I feel guilty sometimes.
But how did Tim even approach you? Because you were a lesbian. How did he even?
No, I was like I was already dabbling.
Here's what we know about Amy.
You've heard about
just
dabbling,
about everything.
Amy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dabbling feminine. Dabbling.
But there's so much more.
Pseudo lesbian. Well, we...
Amy, thanks for the new name for our show, Bad Radio.
I'm shocked that Ken hasn't
no,
offered you your own slot.
Bad Radio?
Yeah, what is this? Bad Radio?
Yeah, that's the whole title. You could shorten it to just Bad Radio.
We don't have to. Our
well,
listeners
radio.
Our listeners
do
that for us.
Things.
Yeah.
Radio.
Hey, thanks, Amy. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Amy, you're in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
Amy should do a talk show, shouldn't she?
She'd
do,
give
I
her
think
a, give
good.
Her a slot.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact.
Yeah, look,
well,
she
I
has everything.
Songwriter, so you can find me in that vein, but not. I've
she's
never been
a
in any
lapsed
video,
lesbian. She's a lapsed lesbian, pseudo feminist
who went to Barnard,
and she actually has some media experience. Ken, she was on.
I'm an entertainer.
She was on a Sarah Jesse Raphael show episode years ago.
All right, thanks,
yeah.
Amy.
Thanks, Amy.
Have a good night, guys.
Bye bye.
What would be her time slot, Ken? When can she get started?
Wednesday 6.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we got one more.
And her show could be called Not Quite As Bad Radio.
Hey, we got one more call here. Hi, you're on the air.
Me, Ken?
It's Michael Shelley.
It is.
Hey, Mike.
Hey,
boy,
Michael.
The lines have been jammed. I've been trying to get through all shows.
Oh, that's so nice of you to say. It's not true, but it's very sweet of you to say.
I was 20 years old. I was working as a gopher on the television show Family Ties, and they gave
wow.
me a one-line part. You can just hear my voice. In one episode, and I still get residuals to this day.
Wow.
Wow.
Was that the Michael J. Fox show?
Yeah.
And what was your line?
It was one of these things where Michael J. Fox's character had to get his social studies requirement out of the way, so he thought he'd take a shortcut and work at the suicide hotline. And then, of course, I was his boss, and I got a flat tire, and so I had to call in and say, yeah, I got a flat tire. Don't do anything. And, of course, a guy calls, and it was one of these episodes where the whole show was just him on the phone with this guy trying to convince him not to have suicide. So everybody learned a little lesson.
Oh, so it was a golden moment at the end. And you had a phone. You were off camera. You were on the phone.
Exactly right, yeah.
And do you remember the name of that episode?
Hotline Fever.
We could pull that up.
Probably
yeah, except we only have 3 minutes left.
So people have to do it at home on their own time.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. Great show.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Right.
That's Michael Shelley. You can hear him Saturday mornings, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
But you should be warned before you consider tuning in Michael Shelley. He just revealed he thought we just did a great show. So that says a lot about his standards and
he probably missed most of it. He probably just heard Amy's call. That was a great call.
Well, she's a born entertainer.
Yeah. So is it time to do the Academy Awards?
Well, we haven't seen any of them. How are you just
okay.
Like the honor system Academy Awards?
No, that's fine. We don't need to do the Academy Awards.
Matter. So we have a whole week to think about what we're grateful for before we go to Grandma's house.
I know what I'm grateful for.
Indoor plumbing.
Indoor plumbing.
Indoor plumbing. Is that it? Is that it, Ken?
Nope. Yes. Modern anesthesia.
That's right.
Synthetic opioids. weed tincture. There's so much.
Yeah. Ken will go on and on for 20 minutes. All right. So
OxyContin, Vicodin. There's just so much to be grateful for. I don't know what you're talking about with your stupid indoor plumbing.
It answers the question, why isn't Ken invited to more Thanksgiving dinners? And we'll see you in 2 weeks live again.
Yes. Probably run a rerun next week if you have any requests. Hey, thank you to Jeremiah for the newsletter. Been putting out a newsletter every week, thanks to him.
How can people subscribe to that newsletter?
Oh, you can go to our playlist page. Just go to WFMU.org, click on playlist and comments right now, or just find the 7 second delay page, and you can subscribe there.
And what do you get with the playlist? What do you get? What kind of playlist?
With the newsletter, you mean?
The newsletter, yeah.
Oh, you get Andy's Corner every week. You get Ken's Corner every week.
I don't say anything in my corner anymore.
No, you say a lot. Oh, you wouldn't believe
who
what
writes
you've been...
my corner for me? Who
Jeremiah.
Oh, great.
Yeah, Jeremiah's been ghostwriting Andy's Corner. He's been doing a great job.
I got to subscribe to that. How can I subscribe?
Go to the playlist page for 7 second delay.
Yeah, not worth it.
Yeah.
Okay. Too much trouble.
And thank you to Nick the Bard for screening the calls. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM. Online at WFMU.org. Stay tuned. Coming up next, it's Weekly World Blues with Matt Fivash.
Sound of the blues scale. The blues scale is very simple, very useful, but also very simple to build. All you have to do is know your minor pentatonic scales. So in this case, I was playing A. We'll be right back.
The blues come so many different ways until it's kind of hard to explain.
Thank you.